Welcome to Impact Ministries World Changer Weekend 2014. This is session number one, and your speaker is Alan Spiegel.
Well, I am so happy to be in Alabama. Some of you don't understand what I mean by that. We lived in Florida for 20 and a half years pastoring down there. And we moved back last September, and I can't tell you how good it is to be back home and to be here. June 1st of last year, my family and I met. There was some transition going on in my heart, in our hearts, and we decided as a family on June 1st to leave Florida, move back to Alabama. And where our daughters and their husbands would start a church, which they did on June 1st, Movement Church out in Madison. And on June the 4th of last year, after we made the decision, we went and told the church. Matter of fact, two of our people from Florida are here tonight, Ray and Danny, so glad you're here. On June the 4th, Janice got an email was sent to Janice from a producer out of New York that had seen the family on Family Feud, wanted to talk to us about doing a reality TV show. And our family had been on Family Feud. Well, let me rephrase that. Five members of our family had been on Family Feud. I came in from the office one day. Janice said, we've applied to be on Family Feud. This is 3 or 4 years ago. And they wanted us to come for an audition. So I said, well, no, it's five. I'm thinking it's five people. I said, well, who's going? And she said herself, our two daughters, and our two son-in-laws. And I'm like, well, what about me? She said, your name never entered my mind. Yours didn't either. Watch this clip from Family Feud, and there's a reason I'm showing this, and you'll see in just a moment.
All right, everybody, we got top six answers on the board. Besides the bed, name someplace people like to make love. Janice?
The car!
Car?
Oh, yeah. Well,
you got it. All right,
it
now. In the car!
We got to play.
They're going to play, okay. Dolores. And I know how happy I am right now. Rod, sides of the bed, name someplace people like to make love.
On the couch!
You heard him, didn't you? You heard that, didn't you? Okay. On the couch! Jill, you're married to Rod.
I am, 14 years.
Ain't nothing quiet at y'all's
house. Ain't nothing
house,
quiet at our house.
Well, Jill, this is going to be fun. Besides the bed, name someplace people like to make love.
I'm going to say in the shower.
In the shower.
Yeah, baby.
Rod, big dog.
Woo!
Big dog.
Let the big dog eat.
Yeah. Right after you belly up. In the shower. Lori, you're pregnant. Besides the bed.
The kitchen table.
Wow.
Yeah, baby. I'm hungry.
I gotta go to this church. I gotta go to this church. All right. The pregnant lady said the kitchen table's where it jumps off. Chef?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Cookie man. Yeah, got them cookies man in your ears.
Can't on the this floor.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. On the floor. One answer left, Spiegel family pastors. You don't even have a strike.
How about outside?
More specific.
On a blanket, outside. Okay.
What do you mean by outside?
Okay, okay. In the park.
My girl right here ain't playing with you.
Outside on the blanket in the park.
Now, they were on there five times, and y'all know if you ever heard of the guy who answered Naked Grandma. I was our son-in-law. The question was something burglar does not want to see the brakes in a house, and he slapped it and screamed Naked Grandma, and it's been viewed 5 million times on YouTube. That was in the same show as this one. So I said that to say this, that from that, the producer in New York saw it, contacted us, came down, shot a teaser video type thing, a sizzle they call it, took it to five major production companies. We signed with Ryan Seacrest Productions, and our show will be, we just finished filming on June 29th, and we'll be airing 6 one-hour episodes this fall. And following our ministry, and following our life in our ministry, and they have just absolutely fallen in love with the message. To the place that TLC, our producers, are pushing to get our website links on TLC's website. And they have, and our agent is a Jewish guy. He said, I want to help you get your gospel out. He said, I've never heard anybody talk about God the way that you guys talk. Now, isn't that exciting? You know, I told my brother, I said, I didn't realize my family was that crazy. He said, where have you been? Now, that's exciting, huh? But you know what? That's not all the story. That's not all the story. We moved last September, and I'm talking in my sessions about staying focused in difficult times. We went through months of some of the toughest for me and our family times of our life. You know, I mean, I went through looking back at it, and Jim knows this. Looking back at it, and I'm going to be real honest with you, I was very close to having a complete meltdown and breakdown. Not that I felt like we made the wrong decision. We made the right decision to move. There was just some elements that I had to work through in my heart and some things that we had to all get a hold of. You know, the first part of that story is wonderful. But I'm telling you, we went through some months of hell. I withdrew myself from people. You know, I've been in town since September, and I think Jim and I have seen each other like four times in all of those months. You know, for a number of reasons, he's busy, I'm busy, but you know what? I just kind of withdrew myself from people for a while. And so during these difficult times, I had to make some decisions. I had to make some decisions about my life. And there's some things that I learned during this process. Here's a couple of things that I learned. I learned during this process, really these are more reminders than they are anything for me, but it really was cemented in my heart. I learned that even when you're being led by God, things can be tough. Where do we get this idea that it's going to be easy? When Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation, which that word tribulation means pressure, but be of good cheer, I've overcome it. But I learned through this process, it's not always going to be easy, even when God's in it. But thank God for grace. Amen? We get through it. Another thing that I learned, that difficulty or smooth sailing are no indications of God's will. I mean, where do we get this idea that it's going to be smooth sailing just because it's God's will? You know, they kind of killed Jesus, you know. I learned that more than ever, I learned that I've got to stay focused. And there's some things that now I know that you're not this way, but and there's some things I have to do. Now, grace people don't like that word do. There's some things I have to do in order to stay focused in difficult times. And so the first thing that I'm going to talk about tonight, or what I'm going to talk about tonight in this session, is really simple. And for most of us, it's probably going to be just a simple reminder. But when you're facing difficult times and the way you're going to get through this and the way that I had to do this is you have to look at Jesus. You have to look at Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Message Bible says it this way. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it. Now listen to this. Because he never lost sight of where he was headed. And I tell you, difficulty can really cause you to lose focus and forget about where you're going. There's a scripture, it's in Luke 21, 34, in the Message Bible, it says, don't let the sharp edge of your expectation become dulled. And difficulties come into our life, and if we're not really careful, we don't keep our eyes on Jesus. If we don't keep our eyes on Jesus, it will not be very long until we no longer have a positive expectation. We no longer have hope in our life. It's not very long until the expectation, the edge of our expectation is dull. And whatever we magnify in our hearts, we know we get more of, whether it's good or bad. Hebrews chapter 1, look at this. Hebrews chapter 1, starting with verse 1, we're talking about look at Jesus. It says, and I'm reading from the Amplified Bible, it says, in many separate revelations, each one set forth a portion of the truth. In different ways, God spoke in the old to our fathers and by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us in the person of his Son, who he appointed heir and lawful owner of all things, also by and through whom he created the worlds and the reaches of space and the ages of time. He made, produced, built, operated, and arranged them in order. Now listen to what it says, verse 3. He is the sole expression. I like that when it says the sole expression because it actually means he's the one and only. The one and only, the one of a kind expression of the glory of God. One translation says that he is the exact representation. And it says he is the perfect imprint of the very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty power, the mighty power of his word. And when he had, by offering himself, accomplished our cleansing of sins and riddance of guilt. Aren't you glad for the riddance of guilt tonight? Thank God. He sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high. All of the prophets had a portion of who God was. They in degrees. But Jesus came to show us who God our Father is. I mean, this is such a simple but yet powerful message. And, you know, when we pastored for 31 years, we pastored for 20 and a half in Florida, and one of the complaints that I often got is, I'm tired of hearing about God's love. Are you kidding me? That'd be like me being in Africa. I'll be able to go to Africa pretty soon, and that'd be like me being in Africa, and a chance to be a part of that trip, then she'll fly back. But that'd be like me being in Africa calling home. And you know what she's going to say before we hang up? She's going to say, I love you. What if I told her, I already know that. Tell me something deep. You can't get deeper than God's love. And the moment you think you've got it, you realize you hadn't even left the house yet. And so it says here, that he's the perfect imprint of God's nature, and he's the one and only. He's the one of a kind. A.W. Tozer said this. He said, the most influential and powerful thing in your life is what you think about when you think about God. Let me say it again. The most influential thing in your life tonight is what you think about when you think about God. We can say, let's think about ice cream. I was driving down the interstate this morning about 5:15, and I passed a Krispy Kreme truck. I wanted to rob him. If we think about donuts, we think about basically a donut. We think about ice cream. We think about, you know, whatever flavor ice cream. But you know what? When we say, let's think about God, there's a lot of different versions that people have when they think about God. But I love it. He said, the most influential thing in your life tonight is what you think about when you think about God. And if you don't think about God by looking at Jesus and how he treated and related to people in the Gospels, you're not seeing God your Father. Because Jesus, as it said, he was the exact representation of God our Father. You know, read the Gospels and see how Jesus treated people. I never get tired of seeing how God feels about me. I never get tired of seeing how Jesus treated people because I know that's how God my Father treats me. And so during difficult times, if I'm going to stay focused, I've got to go back and look at Jesus. And one of the things that I did, I went back and read different portions of the Gospels and looked at how Jesus related to people, reminding myself that God my Father treats me the way Jesus treated people, that God doesn't bring heartache into our life. Aren't you glad? I'm so thankful that we're learning that. You know, so Jesus is the exact representation of God our Father. And, you know, so when you look at Jesus, what do you see? What do you see? You see that, first of all, that God is love. Everybody say, God is love. It's not just something that he does, but it's who he is. God is love. Now, folks, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but believe me, listen to what I'm saying. I have been preaching grace and peace for a long time. But when I got under pressure, I had to make special effort to put myself in a position to get my heart back to where it needed to be. And there's only one thing that can fix that. And I had to go back and remind myself of God's love and kindness and mercy. You know, we pastored a sizable church, I mean, especially for the little town we were in. It was a sizable church. You know, and so you get up every day, and, you know, you get up every day, and you got, you know, people inboxing you, you know, comments and all these things. And you know, and all of a sudden, you know, you get up and you get up. And then you get up the next day, kind of like Groundhog Day. And so while, you know, I really don't think that I had that my self-worth maybe to some degree tied up in that. But, you know, there was something about that I was missing. And listen to me, and I made a mistake. Everybody made a mistake? Can I be honest with you? I mean, you come out on a Friday night raining, you're tough, you can take it. I made some mistakes in that. I didn't look at Jesus soon enough. And so I started putting pressure on my wife, knowing that I shouldn't be doing this, to try to get an affirmation from her that really I can only get from God. Thank God for affirmation from people, but that won't fix you. It's kind of like drugs. You know, if you're depending on affirmation from people, you can never get enough of it. Amen? And so it caused some conflict. And so I had to go back and intentionally look at, let me tell you something, if you're going through a difficult time in your life tonight, go back and look at Jesus. Go back and, well, I already know that. No, you know, that's the indication we don't know that. That's an indication we haven't grasped that. You know, like I said earlier, sometimes people leave our church. They say, well, you know, Pastor, I'm telling you why we're leaving is, you know, is this because, you know, I want to go get something deep. You're too simple. And I think, you know, so in other words, I'm not confusing you. But you have to go back to the simplicity, but yet the power of God's love and kindness toward you. And so when you go back and you read the Gospels, you see that God is love because Jesus related to people with love. Yeah, it's really easy to figure out, you know, when tragedy and heartache and difficulties come into our life, it didn't come from God, because read the Gospels. Did Jesus ever do that? You know, did Jesus ever send a storm? Did he ever burn a house down? Did he ever kill somebody? He messed up some funerals, but he didn't kill anybody. And so we know that tragedy doesn't come from him. You know, folks, I knew that. I knew that. I mean, I absolutely 100% knew that. But I had to go back and refocus because God is love. And in 1 Corinthians 13, I know that you know this, but 1 Corinthians 13 has kind of been taught to us, this is the way we're supposed to love. But really, 1 Corinthians 13 is a picture of who God is. So I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translations, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 7. And it says, love is patient and kind. Now remember, 1 John says it, Bible says it all the way through, that God is love. So when you read this verse of Scripture and it says love is patient, you can just put God's name there. God is patient and kind. I was driving the other day and I thought, boy, I'm glad God's more patient than I am. God is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. God does not demand its own way, his own way. In other words, God will let you choose. I mean, there's a whole goofy doctrine going around in the grace arenas that you don't get to choose in this thing, but, you know, you get to choose. It says love or God is not irritable. God or love or God keeps no record of wrongs. Here's something to stretch you. Not only does God keep no records of wrong, he don't keep record of your right. I mean, if he keeps record of that, he's got to keep record of the other. Because God doesn't relate on to us based on what we do good. Amen? Keeps no record of wrong. It's never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. Love, or God, never gives up. Love never loses faith. God never loses faith. God is always hopeful. God always endures through every circumstance. See, we got this goofy, and I know you know this, but you know, if you've listened to Jim, you know, three times, you've caught this already, unless you slept through it. But listen to this. We have been told that because God loves you, that he will test you to find out. Well, he's God. He knows us. I mean, did Jesus ever test? God is love. Did Jesus ever test? No. That'd be kind of like, you know, Janice and I, let's say we're going out west and we're driving across one of those long areas where it's desert. And I get to thinking, you know, I know we've been married almost 39 years, but I really want to test her to see if she really loves me. So I have this idea. I pull over. Not going to work, is it, Jimmy? I pull over and I say, hey, I think that tire on your side is, something's wrong with it. Would you get out and look at it? She gets out and I roll the window up and lock the door. And I start just kind of driving off. And, you know, she, what are you doing? I'm going to see if you're going to stay committed to me while I try you. Yeah. Now, guys, let me tell you something. If we were stupid enough to do that, somebody else is going to come along in a car, and they'll get in a car with them. And that's kind of how we've done God. Because we think he tests us. We think he tests us, and James says it, that he doesn't. So what do we see when we look at Jesus? We see that God is love, but we see God is good. God is good. God is good even when we're not. Amen? In James 1:13, it says, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm being tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does he tempt any man. And that word tempted, you know, tempted, tested, tried, scrutinized, but I like this, pressured. Let no man say when he's being pressured, I'm being pressured by God, for God cannot be pressured, and neither does he pressure any person. And so when you're going through trials and you're going through times in your life that's difficult, you know, you just go ahead and rule God right out of the equation. That God's not testing me. God is good. I mean, he's good. He's good when I'm not good. He treats me good when I'm bad. I mean, he is good. And the reason we know that is because we read the Gospels and we see how Jesus related to people. And so if I'm going through difficulty in my life, the first thing I've got to do, the first thing I do, I've got to go back and refocus and look at Jesus. I got to go back and re-energize my heart about how God feels about me. And so if we read the Gospels and we see that God is loving, God is good, and I love what it says later in James 1, it says, verse 16, 17, he says, and do not get in error about this. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from God. So it's real easy to know if the difficulty that we're going through in life is from God. Just hold it up if it's good. Because if it's not good, it's not God. I'm telling you, God is, he's always good. I love this scripture in Isaiah 54, 15 in the Message Bible. I love this. I jotted in my notes just before we came over for the service. In Isaiah 54, 15, it says, if anyone attacks, this is Message Bible, if anyone attacks you, don't think for a minute, don't even suppose that I sent them. Let me see it again. Isaiah 54, 15, the Message. If anyone attacks you, don't for a moment suppose that I sent them. Yeah, but Alan, you know, God allows things to happen. Well, if he allowed it, he did it. Well, he allows things to happen. Well, it'd be like kind of like, you know, you got two children, and one of them, you know, you want us to babysit for them, you know, for you and keep them, you know. So, little Johnny is two. He goes out in the street. We're just keeping Johnny tonight. Susie's not here. So Johnny goes out in the street, and he's playing in the street, and I look out the window, and I say, Jay, look at there. Johnny's out there playing in the street. She says, yeah. And we made no effort to get Johnny out of the street. So he plays out there for a couple of hours. Car comes along, runs over, and breaks his legs. Would you let me keep your other child? Of course not. Why? Because we were irresponsible. See, I didn't drive the car, but I allowed it. And if you think God is allowing difficulty in your life, you're basically saying that God did it. And if you think God did it, how could you go to him to get help for what he did? Amen? He says, so don't for a moment think that I sent them. And folks, let me tell you this. As I'm just about out of time here, let me just say this again. I know it's so simple, we miss it. If you're facing difficulty, now I know I've said it and I've said it and I've said it. Go back, look at Jesus. Go back and energize your emotions with Jesus. Go back and look at how he related to people. One of my favorite passages in the Bible, in the Gospels, meaning, is Matthew 9. I love Matthew 9. I love Matthew 9:9, where it says, and Jesus passed by, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the seat of custom. He said, come and follow me. That doesn't seem like a whole lot until you read the other Gospels. The other Gospels say, when Jesus passed by, he saw a tax collector named Matthew. Matthew said, when Jesus passed by, he saw a man that collected taxes. See, when you read the Gospels, you start seeing that Jesus separates what you do from who you are. So I really want to challenge you with that. Go back. Listen, all of us face stuff. All of us go through situations. All of us, you know, focus back. Look at Jesus. Regain your focus by looking, as I said, at the simplicity, but yet the power that's in Jesus. Amen. Father, thank you. We can look to you. Lord, even we've made crazy, stupid decisions, Lord, you've not forsaken us. You've not left us. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.